Good morning. I want to welcome everyone on this Mother's Day. And thank you for being here to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A few announcements, and you've got some, I see, on the screen. And I'll make some of these. I'm going to try to save my voice. I'm not going to go through everything, but there's no junior church today because of Mother's Day. We invited all the kids to be in the sanctuary today, and I know they'll be well behaved, but in the library, there is a speaker system in there, and hopefully it's plugged in. If it's not, you can plug it in with a table, chairs, sofa, everything that you need. Of course, restrooms are through here, a baby changing table, and there is a water fountain in the room, and there is no nursery open today either. There'll be a special meeting of the Glenshaw Valley Congregation on Sunday, May 20th. That's next Sunday, immediately following the service. Please plan to attend. Thank you. And this is concerning the possibility of paving the parking lot, and that's something that cannot be done without congregational approval, so that you can come and be a part of that, that discussion. It's talk about taking money out of investment funds and then trying to raise some money maybe to replace it, but that's all up for discussion, so hopefully you can be here for that. And also the election of two deacons to fill out the 2012 terms for some others. Session council meeting will meet tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. The Women's Association luncheon, you can read about that. And the Bread of Life food pantry, you can read about that. They won't need some items. And then I'm going to let you read the other about the Board of Deacons, and I think some of that's flashing up on the screen. Now I'm going to go ahead and change this. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? Okay, no deacons meeting after church next Sunday, but maybe Wednesday the 16th, so talk to Kathy about that, all you deacons. Any other announcements? Okay, if you want to help Carol with the flower beds any day but Wednesday and Saturday, she can come down, give her a call, and I know there's some mulch to be spread. Muriel? Okay, I guess you can write it straight to the food pantry. If you want to run it through the church, you can give it to the church and make it out on your bottom to the in your item to the food pantry. Yes,
or you can make it directly to the Bread of Life food pantry.
Bread of Life food pantry. You can do it either way. You'll get a donation on your taxes either way. Any other announcements? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise is number 588. We have come into this house.
Thank you.
worship continue with the prayer of confession you find printed within your bulletin. Dear God,
we praise you for being our heavenly parent. We believe that you have both masculine and feminine aspects to your being. That is why both male and female are made in your image. Forgive us when we are not good parents or good children. Teach us how to love as Christian families. Remind us that to love one another is a command. Help us to realize that life is about love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal, silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us once again reaffirm our faith through our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If someone here, you don't know their name, you're not sure, ask them. thank the choir for the beautiful music and Suzanne for that wonderful, wonderful children's sermon, for children being here to be a part of it. Responsive reading, God's Love on 653. 653, God's Love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him.
In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. I'd like to open up this portion of the service for the pastoral prayer and invite you to submit at this time any prayer requests. And of course, you know to look in your Valley newsletter, whether you got it online or the hard copy in the back. I think there's still probably some on the back table. I'll update you just a little bit on the ones I know about. Nancy Baldwin, talked with her yesterday. She is still in Presbyterian Hospital. You know, she had the operation on her back, had a tumor on her spine, which is benign. They removed it. Had to go back in the hospital because she was leaking spinal fluid. They put a shunt in. They will know Monday, whenever they look out. I don't know what time, she doesn't know. And they'll reassess it. She'll either be sent home because it will have stopped leaking and the shunt will have worked, or they will have to go back in and operate on her again. So let's really pray that the shunt work, the leaking will stop, and that fluid, when they put the shunt in, was supposed to stop it from building up like it was and give it time to heal. So she really doesn't want to go through another operation. Who can blame her? She's not the sit-still type, so let's pray for that. And all the other persons on our prayer list. Nancy was in church and she's been doing better, had a heart attack. Sue had a heart attack, doing better. Marcia Huff with her knee is doing better. Isabel and Art. And Art's going through his radiation treatments, and then Ron healing up, and Verna, and then Ron Anderson healing up. So let's keep all of them in our prayers. Robin Pate was in a car accident this past week. She was rear-ended, got busted up pretty bad, but more sore than anything. But I'd like for you to keep her in prayers. So thank goodness she wasn't hurt any worse than she was. Anyone else? Kathy?
Also,
Cassie and her ankle, I had it written down. Let me heard it last year, and she's been having a tough time this year. She's in karate and softball. It is when you walk around on crutches and can't do what you want to do, so we're going to pray for you, okay? All right, next. Okay, three of her relatives with breast cancer problems, and Isabel's having trouble accepting Art's illness. Okay, anyone else? At the back? Okay, Dan's father transferred to a personal care home in Grove City. Thank you. And continued prayers. Yes, Muriel. Okay, for Bob, and then Fran trying to sell the home and the renter, Diane, and trying to get him out so they can sell the home. Anyone else? Yes. Barbara, a friend of hers, going in for a lumpectomy on the 16th. Okay, Diane, Fran, lung cancer, and now has cellulitis. Let's be in prayer for her. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer with debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Heavenly Father, we come to you on this Mother's Day, and we thank you for mothers, for all women, for the different side of life that they bring to us who are male. They normally show us a kinder, gentler side of life. A uniqueness that sometimes we don't understand. And we thank you for that. We ask for blessings upon their lives today, all the females in our congregation, whether they are mothers or not, whether they have their own children, because they may mother people at work or a neighbor, or a spouse, or a friend. Thank you for the love that they show us and they give to us, all the things that they do to make our lives better. And we pray for all the persons that we've mentioned today, that you touch their lives in a very special and unique way, and they feel your presence in their lives. And for those who have not mentioned the name, or listed on our valley or our newsletter, or personal circumstances that we may have forgotten to mention or didn't want to mention, that we come into agreement and ask you to touch their lives also. Be with each and every one of us, as at times we struggle through life, and as at times we seem to be riding a high wave and everything seems to be going so well. Remind us to thank you and to celebrate. God, thank you for loving us and giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our own selves, to give us the gift of eternal life. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for helping us. And thank you for giving us this prayer. Our Father, hymn of preparation is When Love Is Found. It's on the screen. Let us bow for our prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love, for the gifts that have come from heaven, for every kind deed that is done by one of this congregation, whether to one of the members of their family, or one of the members of the church, or to a neighbor, or someone that they might have considered an enemy. Thank you for that sacrifice of love. Thank you for the sacrifice of their giving of money, time, talent, energies. Bless them this day, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen. Thank you. Bill Mueller, come forward this time and read scripture, and thank him for doing it.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley, and good morning especially to all the mothers out there that reflect God's love by their care of each and every one of us. Today's scripture is in a continuation of last week's scripture, where Christ is teaching us how to abide in him. Last week it was, we should abide in him as the vine, or the branches abide in the vine. Today he talks about abiding in love. And he tells us what the reward is for abiding in God, and it's a great joy that we can all have. So please listen for your personal message when I read the scripture, John 15:9-17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go forth and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. Always such an excellent job. I just want to take a moment. I know some of you think I forgot. I haven't forgotten. And if you can't stand, I want you to raise your hand. I know some of you have a little difficulty standing. Do we have any great grandmothers in the congregation today? And can just remain standing if you can, and hold your applause. All right, now grandmothers. One that can't stand but raising her hand. A lot of them. Now mothers. Any are in the process of being a mother. All right. I just threw that one in at the last moment. Didn't know. I hope it wasn't a secret. Now I would just like all the women, all the young girls, all women in the congregation to stand, because you're all mothers to us. All you women, please. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you, and you may be seated. I truly mean it when I say it. Life would be so much different without women. I've said it before, I just don't know what life would be like without women in this world. I wouldn't want to find out. I truly would not want to find out. I hope we'd never have to go there. Mother's Day. I know mothership can be a hardship sometimes, So I've got a few jokes, whether you laugh at them or not, we never know. We never know. Sometimes you just look at me like I'm from another planet, but I can deal with that. A little boy watched fascinated as his mother was rubbing cold cream on her face and said, "Why are you rubbing that cold cream into your face, Mommy?" "To make myself beautiful." A few minutes later, he was still in the room watching her, and she began removing the cold cream with a tissue. He said, "What's the matter, Mommy? Are you giving up?" Smart little boy. Welcome to Mother's Day 2012. I know it's not easy being a mom, and those of you who have children, you know it's not easy, regardless of your child's age, whether they're 2 or 52. One mom says that she's going to try something different next summer with the dog and the kids. She's going to send the dog to camp and the children to obedience school. I think some of you should try that. I'll pay for half. Irma Bombeck once said that what mother has never fallen to her knees when she's gone into her son's room and prayed, "Please, God, no more. You said you'd only give me what I could handle." You know, it's not easier. Someone has said, the hand that rocks the cradle is attached to someone who's not getting nearly enough sleep. And of course, sometimes it's hard. It's not easy having a mom either. It's not easy on us little boys. Comedian George Wallace said, "I grew up hearing stupid things from my mother. She would say, 'This is the last time I'm going to tell you to take out the garbage.'" And George would say, "Think, thank God, it's the last time she's ever going to tell me. If only that were true." Maybe mom's advice sometimes seems a little silly to us and even unreasonable. One mother, Pam Hodgkins, tells about the first time her son arrived back from the States after having been in the 1st Marine Division in Iraq, fighting a horrible, horrible war on the front lines. She said she still couldn't help reacting like a mom after not seeing him for so long. And she saw him running across the base. She was sitting in the stands, and he's running across the base with a bayonet in his hands. And she jumped up and yelled at the top of her voice, "Dave, don't run with that knife in your hand." Oh, Mom. Every mom's done it at some time or another. Most of us would be lost without our moms to give us direction. Those of you who still have your moms, be so thankful. And I've told you before, I lost mine at 12, and it definitely changes your life not to have a mom in your life. A couple was moving across the country, and they decided to drive 2 cars. Very reasonable thing to do. And their 8-year-old son, Nathaniel, worried about how they're going to keep from getting separated. Dad reassured them, "We'll drive slowly. One car can follow the other." But he was still worried about this, and he said, "Well, what if we do get separated?" And the dad, picking on him a little bit, said, "Well, I guess we'll never see each other again." Nathaniel thought for a second and said, "Well, I'm riding with Mom." Mother's Day can be summed up, I think, up in some words that one mom said. Said, "You know, I'd really like to be the ideal, perfect mom, but I'm too busy raising my kids." You know what I mean, don't you? You want to be perfect, but who can be perfect? Nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes. But there are several things and thoughts we can draw from this lesson for the day. Love is a command. Jesus isn't giving us a suggestion that we should love one another. You know, I think you ought to love one another. It'd be kind of good if you loved one another. He said, love one another. I command you to do it. And it's not easy to love one another. It's not easy to love your spouse. It's not easy to love your children. It's not easy to love your parents at times. Sometimes it's the hardest thing that you can do. To be a follower of Jesus Christ is to love our family, our friends, and even to love our enemies. Jesus said in John 13, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Not by all the other things that we count sometimes and we put on our scorecard. You can't be any more direct than that. There aren't many rules to the Christian faith. Not really, unless you want to go back into the Old Testament. But we live in the New Testament. But this rule is ironclad. We are to love. Of course, this was not the first time that the Master lifted up love as the great commandment. In Matthew's Gospel, next where the law tested Jesus with this question, he said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it. Like unto loving God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. A young boy in elementary school was given a test in English grammar. He was being tested on the perfect tense of verbs. One question had a column of verbs in the present tense, and he had to put the perfect tense of form in each of these verbs in the opposite column next to it. He came to the verb live, and the opposite column for the perfect tense of the word live, he wrote the word love. Of course, grammatically, he was way off base, but as far as the Christian faith is concerned, he was dead on, because to live is to love. That's what life is all about. It's about relationships. It is about loving. What else is it really all about when we come to the end? When we come to the end of life? Secondly, Christ speaks of laying down one's life for one's friends because love is sacrificial. For many of us, it's a squishy emotion without any real content. I love you for what you can do for me. You meet my needs and I get a warm, fuzzy feeling. We sing all about love, and in our hearts we know that this can be horribly, horribly superficial. True love is sacrificial. There's a story about two tribes in the Andes that went to war with one another. One tribe lived in the lowlands and one tribe lived in the highlands up in the mountains. So they're different, didn't really see each other, but at times they would go to war. So the tribe in the high hills, the highlands, went down and attacked the lowland people, robbed them, destroyed their village, and even stole a little baby. So the lowlanders put together their strongest, mightiest warriors and were sending them up the mountain to get the baby back and attack the highlanders. For 3 weeks, they looked for a path. They tried to climb that mountain, but being lowlanders, they didn't know how. They didn't have the climbing equipment. They couldn't find any paths. So after 3 weeks, they said, we have to give up. We can't do it. We can't find our way. So they're packing up their gear, their equipment. They're going home feeling frustrated and helpless and hopeless and defeated. And they look over. And here comes a woman walking towards them. And on her back is strapped a baby. And they run over to her and said, we're men. We are warriors. We're strong. We've been trying to get up this mountain for 3 weeks and we couldn't do it. And here you are coming down the mountain and you've come down with the baby that we're trying to rescue. How did you do it? And she just looked at him and simply said, "It was not your baby. It was my baby." Every parent worth his or her salt understands that. There's nothing that we will not do for our children when we love them. Of course, some of us are at the stage of life when it is our parents who need the sacrificial love. It's part of the circle of life. Our parents provide for our needs when we were young, but now it's they who need us. Who will be there for them? You may be part of that generation that we call the sandwich generation in psychology. Caught between the needs of your children and the needs of your aging parents. And that really is a difficult phase to be in. A lady named Bevels tells a story about her mother wanting to go shopping. And she really didn't want to go. She confesses that she's not a patient person and did not look forward to going to the mall at all, taking her mother. They visited nearly every store in the mall for the ladies' dresses, and she really grew tired of seeing her mother reject dress after dress after dress, trying them on. And finally, at last up, her mother tried on a lovely blue dress. And with it, a blouse, and it had a bow tie. And they were in the dressing room, and her mother was trying to tie the bow tie. But she couldn't do it because her hands were all arthritic. And so she reached up to help her mother. And all of a sudden, she had overwhelming emotions. And she had to turn away and look away because a tear was starting to come down. And gain her composure, she didn't want her mother to see her crying. She regained that composure. And when the trip was over, this memory was etched in her brain. She couldn't quit thinking about it. For the rest of the day, her mind kept returning to that moment, thinking about her arthritic hands, her trying to tie that simple bow. Those loving hands that had fed her, had bathed her, had dressed her, had nursed her, had prayed for her, had helped her, comforted her, were now touching her in a very remarkable way. Later in the evening, Bev went to her mother's room, took her mom's hand in her own hands, and she kissed her hands. Then, much to her surprise, she told her mom that those are the most beautiful hands that she had ever seen in her life. Such a sweet thing to say. Bev says she's so grateful that God let her see with new eyes what a precious, priceless gift, a loving, self-sacrificing gift a mother is. And she prays that someday, her own hands or heart will have earned such a beauty of her and their own. Some of you can relate to that simple story. You remember many loving sacrifices that your mom or your dad or your grandparents or whoever it was that raised you. Now you watch sadly as your parents struggle with aging. Now it's your turn to make some sacrifices. And again, it's not easy because Christ never promised it would be easy. But love is sacrificial. But love is what life is really all about. That's why we're upon this planet. That's really why we're here. In 1 Corinthians 13, St. Paul summed it up like this. These three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And I want to close with this little story. Author J. Allen Peterson tells about a flight he once took on 747 coming out of Brazil. They haven't been on the flight very long when an announcement came over the loudspeakers, what everybody that ever flies dreads: we have a serious emergency. Three engines have quit because of fuel contamination, and we expect the fourth engine to quit at any moment. The plane began to drop and turn into the night, preparing for an emergency landing. At first, the situation seemed unreal to Peterson, but then the steward barked, "Prepare for impact." He found himself and everyone around him as, there's no atheist in that kind of situation, begin to pray. He buried his head in his lap, pull up into his knees like they tell you to do. And he said, "Oh God, thank you. Thank you for the incredible privilege of knowing you. Life has been wonderful." As the plane approached the ground, his last cry was, "Oh God, my wife, my children." As you can imagine, telling the story, Peterson survived the plane crash. As he wandered around the airport where they crashed afterward in a daze, aching all over, he found that he couldn't even speak. He was so traumatized. But his mind was racing. He was thinking, what were my last words? What were my last thoughts? As he remembered, he had his answer. Relationships. Life was about relationships and love. Reunited with his wife and son, he found out that all he could say to them over and over and over was, "I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I appreciate you." He discovered, as sooner or later we all discover, the bottom line of life is love. It's not really about anything else. It is about love. Love is what life is all about. Without it, life is not even worth living. God created this world so even that He would have persons to love. God sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross because of love. When we are gathered around God's throne in heaven with all those that we love, we will discover that the final payoff for living is love. Love. The greatest four-letter word that can ever be spoken or acted upon. These three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. May God bless you all, but especially you mothers. Happy Mother's Day. Amen. Our closing hymn, 534, "She Will Be Called Blessed." After I give the benediction, I'm going to slip out and just wash my hands before I greet you. I don't think I have anything that you can get. I think it's just severe allergies, but I'm not going to take any chances. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, I hope that you felt love. I hope that you felt loved. And I hope that you feel like giving some love away today. True love, sacrificial love, Even if you don't feel like loving, don't go on your feelings. Love anyway, because love is not always a feeling. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.